Hello, you're listening to the Thoroughly Good Classical Music Podcast. My name is John Jacob. This is the first episode in a shiny new batch of podcast episodes, what might loosely be called a season, or maybe put another way, a backlog of interviews recorded but not edited or put out. Note, we don't use the word drop to refer to a podcast being published. We say put out. Kicking off this series of episodes is a collection of thoughts and reflections on conducting and learning the art of conducting from LPO principal conductor Edward Gardner and LPO conducting fellows Charlotte Politti and Louis. Oh, hang on, because I have been practicing this. Castillo Briceño. I'm not a native speaker, as is probably painfully obvious, so please forgive if I've messed up there. These aren't simply thoughts on conducting, they might even be steers on leadership, personal leadership and workplace leadership too. I hope invaluable inspiration.
I'm Ed Gardner, I'm the principal conductor of the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and I've been with this wonderful orchestra for 3 years, so just coming into my, it'll be my fourth season together starting in August.
You seem every day and easy to talk to, and not what a lot of people might assume a conductor to be. You seem very quick to build rapport with people that you don't know. Is that a necessary part of the job, do you think, now?
Those sort of entrenched cliches of conductors is pretty out of date. I mean, the relationship between orchestras and conductors has changed so much.
My name is Charlotte. I'm French-Italian. I was born in France but grew up in Italy, and I'm a conductor. I'm a musician, and I live in London. I've been here for 2.5 years now, and so what I do at the moment, I'm freelancing as a conductor, working mostly in ballet, I would say, because I work with the Royal Ballet, Birmingham Royal Ballet, and other companies in the UK, and also obviously I'm the conducting fellow with the LPO this season together with my colleague Luis. And conducting is a little bit of an emotional drug. The more it keeps you very alive, and it gives you, once you do it, it's very hard to come back. Once you know the feeling of making music with a large orchestra and, you know, making it happen, like, and honestly, like, just giving it to the audience as well, because if there is no audience, it's completely different. So you need that energy coming back. With the energy that you give, you feel like there is a whole circle between you, the orchestra, and the audience. And, well, once you start, it's very hard to stop it. Now I'm here.
Well, my name is Luis. I come from Costa Rica. We both are the fellow conductors this season for the London Philharmonic. But yeah, so, and the interesting thing about conducting is that somehow it happens. I think it's very rarely that somebody's like, okay, I'll be a conductor and that's what I will do. Because it's a thing that it's so strange. Like, I think up until this point, I don't fully understand the profession, like what it takes, or like it's such a mysterious way, like what will tomorrow look like? And I'm sure if you would ask older conductors, it's mysterious, and it happens. It's like a, we could say, like a duty that comes onto you of being responsible to lead a group of people, and the feeling of giving energy and receiving energy, the feeling of giving energy also to the public and receiving it back, is just a cycle of, it's a cycle of life, and I think it's why we do it also.
I'm 49, and I've been doing it since I left the academy in 2000. So that's, I guess, and I was still an apprentice for a while of that, but that's 24 years doing it out, and as not as a student, but either as an assistant, associate, or conductor.
What do you think their challenges are coming into the industry now? I mean, they talk about their work in terms of, this is just I don't mean that they're saying that this is just a job, but you don't get a sense of this is all or nothing. This is one of a variety of different things. I wonder what, from your perspective, after 24 years in the industry, what do you think the challenges are that they face?
I mean, getting your first breaks involves a lot of luck. I mean, I could kind of pinpoint three things in my early career, excuse me, that gave me a real rung up the ladder opportunities, you know, fluke opportunities. And now the industry, it's no secret that it's retracting into itself a lot. I mean, there's a lot less work to go around and a lot less opportunity for, let's say, risk taking, back to what you were saying earlier on. So being able to get that opportunity which launches you is a huge thing. And actually the LPO scheme is a very good start for both of them, because we're very, you know, focused on building their careers from the beginning in that way. Just having enough opportunity. I think it's a myth that any one conductor goes around the world and they're you know, hugely popular with everyone who they stand in front of. That's really not how it works. You just need enough opportunities to find the people who will be your musical families for the future.
I think when we are on the podium, the musicians respect us as their point of reference and as the person that is in that moment in charge of organizing things and being their leader in this specific moment. And one thing, because I come from Costa Rica, obviously, and before I lived in Austria and Switzerland, one thing that has really surprised me here in England, or at least with the LPO, is just the sense of it's a very friendly orchestra, I find. They are very open. So even though I just said all of this when one is on the podium, then one goes out of the podium and then one chats with them. It's very relaxed. It's very, which I suppose with a chief conductor would be a bit different. So in our sense, I would say, my opinion as fellow conductor, we're a bit more in same terms when we are off the podium. But when we are on the podium, it's clear that they do respect us and they want to work. And part of the work is, okay, we do music together and here is the downbeat.
Yeah, and they know, I think, for how our position was presented to the orchestra, they know that we are there to learn, and the more we get the opportunity to learn as well from their experience, from their daily life, really, how they behave also outside of the orchestra or the rehearsal time, then we can always learn something from them. I think it's very, very interesting to talk to the orchestra players.
I mean, trust is enormous, isn't it? I'm sure if you talk to Charlotte and Luis, they might have said the same, that to learn, for an orchestra to learn to trust this guy or lady with a white stick just waving around in the air when they have all the responsibility for the quality of the sound, the timing of the sound, is enormous. And that's reciprocal. It's in the other direction as well. My best relationships are when both sides can feel they have complete trust in what the other's trying to achieve.
Which does rather suggest then that everybody involved in the process, not only the musicians and the conductor, but also those who are making the decision to put the conductor on the podium, everybody's having to take a risk. They're having to sort of trust instinct, presumably. You know, even the decision makers, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, instincts, they have to preempt chemistry. How about that for a weird sentence? But you never know. I mean, you really never know whether your personality as a conductor will chime with the mass personality of the orchestra in front of you.
See, in my head, I hear that and think, yeah, but can you actually measure that? Is that like in a coffee break, people are going up to each other and going, actually, I don't trust him, I don't like him. You know, is it explicitly measured? Or is it something that is just a bit of a feeling?
I mean, anecdotally, I would say you could talk to orchestral musicians and say that. Yeah, I think some people might say I don't trust the journey we're being taken on, or the opposite. But it comes over time. That's the thing. I mean, certainly for me, it comes over time. And I think my best relationships are built up over many concerts when, you know, the process of what we've been through together for the last week, month, 3 or 4 days is validated by the result of what we achieved together in that final moment. So it takes a long time to build up. For me, I think some people get it more immediately, but it's a slow burn thing for me, for sure.
What do you think you have learned so far? And is that something that you feel comfortable saying? I hope so, otherwise it's going to come to an end very quickly.
I have to say, LPO is one of the most friendly, they are incredibly friendly, and positive.
No, but you know, this is very special.
It is true, it is true.
This does rather suggest that other orchestras that you have worked with have not been quite so friendly.
Not as much, yeah, I won't say any names. No, but it is true, it is true, and they're very positive. Like, they never talk badly about maybe they don't like the piece that they're playing at the moment, because obviously we all have favorites, but they're always so invested in the moment, in what they are doing in that specific moment. And then that I really love, because it's something that we always have to do, I think. It's very important.
But what have you learned? I noticed that you have just dodged that question beautifully. What have you learned in this process as a fellow of as a LPO conducting fellow? Because you said that you came to learn. What have you learned?
I've learned, for example, that psychologically, to work with an orchestra of this level, for example, there are certain things that might not, for example, with my experience with previous orchestras. In this orchestra, I need to plan, for example, a rehearsal differently. So this prepares me to be able to then come in front of orchestras of this level and be more efficient, for example. Or if we want to be a bit more dramatic, I could also have learned that some of the musicians might prefer other formations of how the orchestra is set up on stage. What are the advantages of that? Maybe in one rehearsal, these people are complaining a bit that they don't hear the other violin so well. So it's like things that they might be obvious, maybe to a more experienced logistic. Also, for example, talking with the people behind the curtain, all the people that are putting the chairs, all of this, to know how intense, also, for example, is to tour. I mean, Charlotte was just saying, maybe you can say how they just came from a tour and then...
Yeah, it's and then one day was postponed, and then the next day, immediately after traveling, they were back rehearsing more than 6 hours. We did 7 hours in one day, and then the next day is the concert. Yeah, the pace of the LPO is very impressive. The amount of touring that they do, the amount of concerts, and as well, what I'm learning. So at this point, I think is. How fast you have to be with the repertoire. So yes. I'm learning so much repertoire.
A lot of repertoire learning.
So much repertoire.
You're gesticulating with your hand in a way that is really terrifying.
I know, I'm doing this.
I don't play in the orchestra. You simply
so we're both Latinos, so we need our hands. But I'm doing this just...
That's obviously what
there's a lot of hand.
You are used to illustrating your point with a lot of hand gestures.
Yes.
There's no need.
Well, but we are conductors.
How has the experience changed them, do you observe?
I would... Well, they're very different people, as you get from talking to them. And I think they have different qualities and different directions that their careers will go in. I think they'll both be perfectly successful for what that's worth. But I think the very basis of they've both done big concerts with one of the great orchestras of the world who were fantastic at looking after them and supporting them. And I think just that very experience gives you a confidence that you're worth it, that you're worthy of doing it. I remember battling with this a lot with myself in my 20s, that, you know, we have no instrument, we have no way of practicing when we're in our rooms at home looking at all these scores. And it's only that validation through an orchestra respecting and enjoying what you do that you have any idea whether you're capable of doing it. And they both have that experience already. And they speak to the musicians. I mean, the LPO are gorgeous people, and they talk openly and generously about what they look for in conductors. And they'll have learned a huge amount from that.
It has made me more organized, more professional, more risk-daring, one might say. Because, for example, to have a concert with such an orchestra with just 3 hours of rehearsal, which I don't know about Charlotte, but the repertoire I conducted was the first time in my life that I conducted it. It maybe, and sometimes we don't really realize it at that moment, but now seeing it from some months of distance, it does take courage, does take some risk of let's go and I can do it. And well, it's part of the job of being a conductor. We can see it, say it's just part of it. But I do think now at the end of this year that we will finish in June, we come out as an incredible two young conductors that have learned how to be more professional, more like Charlotte says, on it, meaning that, okay, I already took a risk there. If they call me tomorrow that I need to go and react quickly to a concert with other orchestra, I'm ready. And this process has, I'm sure, given us this confidence to be able to say, I'm ready, and I'm ready to move on to a full professional career, which I think is also the purpose of the whole scheme.
Are there things specific to the work that you do and the way in which you have to work that you think would probably surprise leaders in other sectors?
I think this cocktail of authority, delegation, trust in the workforce, end goal, persuasion, I think these things are incredibly fragile and endlessly fascinating in what we do. And I think about those a lot. I mean, actually, do you know what? Funnily enough, I think about the great sports coaches a lot, about what we do in reverse, because I think they have that combination of being one of their people, one of their athletes, as we have as being one of the musicians, but this role of authority above it and shaping brilliance that's already there. I think there's a lot of similarity there, which I'd love to delve deeper into.
Well, how has it challenged you? How has the process challenged you?
I think the repertoire part, I would like to also point on that. When you study, I remember old professors telling, okay, this is the moment, you need to learn so much repertoire as possible, because after, you won't have time. And one was always like, yeah, okay, thank you very much, I get it. But no, you don't really get it until you're here and you have so much repertoire. And there was 1 week we were preparing for a tour. The orchestra, they were rehearsing like three, four different symphonies, three, four different concertos, four overtures, like to keep this pace. And which is the pace of a real...
Over a period of how long? Just for those people who are not sort of part of that process.
That was 1 week.
In a week. So that's four... Did you say four symphonies?
Two? Yeah. Three concerti and then four overtures. Because they were preparing a program for a whole tour that they had in Germany. And also for the concert here in London. So as a young conductor, to be able to learn that fast and to keep up, I think this is one of the...
Yeah, and not be afraid as well. Because also what I'm seeing getting into the profession is that, for example, Beethoven symphonies, I've studied most of them, and I had the chance to conduct maybe bits of most of the symphonies, but for some reason Third Symphony never happened. And if you tell me now, oh, you have to do Third Symphony, I would be so scared, because I haven't had that long time to just process it, to just study it. So yeah, but I mean, if I had the opportunity, of course I would say yes. But
no,
you know what I mean. But so you don't have to be scared of like diving into new repertoire as quickly as you can.